Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Hello? You here?
Hey, yes, I...
Finally.
Yeah,
finally.
What happened there? I can't hear anything.
The Mac has come back. To Blog Talk Radio.
Was there silent air? What happened there? There was a dead air.
I heard you, but you couldn't hear me.
Oh, that was weird.
So did you hear the intro and everything and what I was saying, or you?
I heard the intro in the beginning, and then it just cut off. No, it was just silence.
Yeah, I was talking.
Oh.
You couldn't hear me.
Yeah.
And then I heard you like maybe a minute in, like you were like, hello, hello, hello. And I was like, man, we're having Super Saiyan technical difficulties. I'm like, it's like watching Raw or SmackDown. I'm literally reviewing what we just saw or noticed. You know, because WWE loves to do that. I guess if you blink, you know, they got to replay the same thing that just happened, you know, a few seconds ago, which is the same exact thing that happened the week before that, and the week before that, and the week before that, and so forth and so forth. Well, but we'll get into that when we talk, you know, wrestling and WWE later on in the show. But, yeah, like I was saying, you know, I'm glad to have you on the show as always.
Glad to be on as usual.
And I'm glad to have you on again, ladies and gentlemen, for this special Friday night episode titled Red Dead Revolver, Kemba Walker, and Evan Fournier shooting for Knicks redemption. So this was going to be what we're going to lead off the show with, you know, our thoughts on the Knicks trying to redeem themselves from that embarrassing loss to the Atlanta Hawks this past season. Yeah, we were going to originally talk about this on the show, but unfortunately I'm going to have to talk about what happened with the Mets, you know, getting the Thanos snap, you know, by the Phillies. We're going to, you know, update you with the score with the ongoing Yankee game versus the Mariners. Mac will give us the update on that as the show go along. Also Durant, he signed a 4-year deal extension with the Nets. So anybody who had visions of him coming to the Knicks or opting out or going somewhere else to you know, win another title someplace else, man, yeah, you can wake up, reality slapping you right in the face. Durant is here to stay. until another better team is, you know, in the NBA, and then he'll just jump ship and take Kyrie along with him. But with that said, you know, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about WWE, NXT getting recent, you know, releases, and anything else that's going on in the world of sports entertainment. Oh, yeah, we'll even talk the Olympics with Simone Biles, you know, getting the medal after she overcame the twisties. So, you know, anything else you guys would love to talk about, you know, we're here for you. You know, we'd love to hear what you have to say. Yeah, but with that said, yeah, let's just dive right into the Mets, man. And, you know, I'm a passionate Mets fan. You know, I call it how I see it, man. And I surprised you. I don't remember if this was last week or was it the week before that when I was like, the way how these guys are playing, you know, they're not going to make it to the playoffs. They're going to blow this division. And sure enough, in that span, they probably only won one game. You know, they're falling apart, the Mets. You know, they got the Javi Baez trade at the deadline, got Trevor Williams as the only reliever they got in the trade deadline, where there's Berrios, who went to Toronto, and, you know, all these other teams did moves. Philly's got Kyle Gibson from Texas, who beat us like a half hour ago. And, you know, basically, Javi Baez is a very exciting player, but, you know, you see, you know, he could one day he could be the best player, you know, on the field, and another day he could just strike out five times in a game like he did on Thursday night, or Thursday afternoon, I should say. And how the Mets are playing right now, it's just disgusting. I'm not talking about, you know, DeGrom throwing a off-speed pitch in the dirt and you're swinging through it. Or he throws a 100-mile-per-hour fastball and you just swing and you didn't see the pitch and you just, you know, you're swinging because of the movement. The movement that the Mets are going down are is bad, man. They're taking a nosedive. This team is doing more of a tailspin than Baloo and the whole cast of that cartoon did in the 90s, man. It's disgusting, man. I'm just...
Damn, is that bad?
To be honest with you, man, I am, like, I'm so PO'd. And I saw it coming. It's not like if I didn't see it coming in these past couple of days. Because every single day, I'm telling you, Matt, let me explain to you, Mac, because you're a Yankee fan. This is a very foreign concept, I'm telling you. Normally, when you have the bases loaded, how do you feel, Mac, as a Yankee fan? Nobody out. How do you feel?
Well, that I can score runs.
Exactly.
Well, but with the Yankees playing with the Yankees offense this year, I can't say that. So.
Yeah, but you improve your offense with Gallo and Rizzo.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Lately, yeah.
Yeah, but let me tell you how it is in my mindset. Mets get someone on base, they walk. They get a single. They play station to station like an American League team. Then someone get hit by a pitch or walk. So then I'm like, yeah, okay, we got the bases loaded, nobody out. And then afterwards, my mind, it's like, wait a minute. That's when they do the worst. When this bases loaded, nobody out, that's when the Mets do the absolute worst because they press. You know what I'm saying? And when they get hits with people in scoring position, they play station to station. They can't score. They can't score. They don't want to get thrown out at the plate. So here's what happened. They get bases loaded, nobody out. They might even did it early in the first inning. I can't even remember because it's like all these games are blending into one. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure they had a moment like this earlier, probably in the first. Was it the first or second inning? I can't even remember. But they've had so many games, man, that they have bases loaded, nobody out. What do? They strike out, right? They strike out and then they hit into a double play. Or they strike out the side on the Mets. Like, you can't make this stuff up. They can't even You can't even get a sacrifice fly. They can't even get a sacrifice fly with the bases loaded. Nobody out. The only time they get a ball that would resemble a sacrifice fly is when it's for the third out. That's the only time they can hit the ball out of the infield. It's annoying, man. Torture. Watching the Mets play is absolute torture.
And yet now the Braves and the Phillies are playing better now.
I know. And they didn't do nothing to improve the pitching. They didn't do anything to improve the bullpen. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even know what to say right now, man, because the pitchers can't even go seven. The pitchers can't even go five innings. I was almost going to say they can't go seven innings. The starting pitcher can't even go – the starting pitching, since the ground has been down, they can't go five innings because Walker, he's regressed. He's been horrible. Stroman has been kind of a little shaky lately. And, you know, the only person who's been, like, really pitching well, really, I could think of is Carrasco. But he's, like, on his second or third start, and they're not pushing him. They're not making him go at least – they're not even making him go five innings. Like, they're taking this guy out with two outs or one out away from even qualifying for a potential win. Like, the other day, he was leading, like, 3-0 or 3-1. They took him out with two outs before you know, he could even qualify for a potential win. And I think that was the only game they won because they had to come back from behind. They had a 3-0 lead. They blew that lead, and then that was the game when Bias hit the home run. That was, I think, Wednesday night. That's probably the only game they've won in this whole week. And they were facing the Marlins. Like, come on. They lost 3 out of 4 to the Marlins. This isn't the 97 Marlins. This isn't the 2003 Marlins that McCauley knows firsthand. Yeah, Jeter was there. You got Jeter, too. This is not the same Marlins team. And that team was a pretender. Yeah, they made it to the playoff last year. But everybody except for the Mets made it to the playoffs last year with that stupid play-in thing that they had that the NBA is imitating. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke.
Do they have that this year?
Yeah, I think they're going to have it this year. Yeah, because they have two wild cards. They have two wild cards, and the Mets ain't going to get not even one of it. The Mets are not going to get none of the wild cards. The Mets are the wild card. They're not the wild card team, but you don't know what team you're getting. Like, this is not the same team that started out. They had the division for 90 days. 90 days, man. They're 90-day fiancé when you think about it. you think you're going to get married with them. You're going to finally win the championship with this team, and then they let you down.
Yeah.
They take the green card, which is your hopes and dreams, and run away. Like, this team is a joke. This team was an utter joke, man. They did nothing to improve the starting pitching.
Well, you know, the pitching right now, you know, the Grom's going to be out until September.
Yeah, and the mess up thing about that is that our hopes and dreams of him winning the ERA title is not going to count. He'd have to throw, like, I heard, like, he had to throw, like, 7 or 8 complete game shutouts to go 9 innings. Mind you, not even the rainout, the 7-inning doubleheaders. He'd have to pitch in like 7 or 8 7 or 8 shutout games from now until the season ends for him to even get a shot to qualify for the ERA title. He has the lowest ERA. His ERA is 1.8. But unfortunately, because of all these injuries that sideline him, he's not going to be able to qualify. So his dreams of winning the ERA titles, up in smoke. His chances of winning a third Cy Young Award, up in smoke. His chance of being the first ever Met to win the MVP, up in smoke. Our chances of winning a championship is up in smoke. Yes, we're trailing by a half game. We came into this game leading by a half game, and now we're trailing by a half game because of the Mets' ineptitude. And people were saying, oh, Luis Rojas, man, give this guy should be the National League Manager of the Year. Have you seen these games? And I'm not saying it's all his fault. I'm not saying it's all his fault because the men, they have the bats. They have the they have the gloves. They're the one that's supposed to feel the ball, hit the ball, and play the game that they're so that they love. They grew up playing. But some of his stuff is so predictable. We got to go to the bullpen like in the fifth inning, and that's if the pitcher is doing good. Every game seems like a bullpen game with this team. Everybody's pitching. He pitches Familia two innings. Familia pitches good the first inning. He gives up a run or so in the second time he comes to the thing. Loop comes in one or two innings, and Loop is arguably the best reliever the Mets have this year so far. And they always use him to get the pitcher out of the one or two outs to get out of the inning, and they don't use him for a second inning. Whether if he throws one pitch or not, they just take him out. I get it. Yeah, he's supposed to be the specialist, but this guy could get lefties and righties out. I mean, he pitched for the Rays last year. What I'm saying? This guy's battle tested in the postseason, and they're just shoehorning him in this role. I mean, it's just an utter joke. Castro, he's now on the IL. But he's shaky. I mean, this whole team, man, they just what do you have to say? I'm just gonna keep going on and on. What do you have to say?
Well, I mean, yeah, like as you mentioned, the Mets, they were leading this division, for most of the season, for
90 days,
more than half of the season, and now you got the Phillies playing better, you got the Braves coming on now, and Mets, they can't afford to lose any more ground, because, I mean, the offense hasn't been – our offense is bad, hasn't been bad all year, but the Mets offense is not that good either, when you think about it. Your offense has just been as bad as the Yankee offense this season.
Worse.
But by the way, it looks like it's a foul ball. Sorry. Get excited there with the Yankee game.
You thought someone homered, right?
Yeah, I thought someone homered. Sorry. But,
Wait for the next pitch. You'll get what you want. Spoiler alert.
But I was going to say that, the Mets, right now, the offense has to get better. The pitching has to get better, especially with DeGrom out. And is Syndergaard going to be back this year at all?
They're expecting him to come back sometime next month or late this month.
Okay.
I mean, this pitching situation is so bad that Syndergaard might even come back before DeGrom.
Wow.
What were you going to say?
How much of a difference do you think Syndergaard will make if he does come back this year?
To be honest with you, I mean, you can't expect that much from him because, he literally missed the whole year.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You have to let him get his arm strength. You're hoping that if he does pitch, he's going to be in the same situation as Carrasco. These guys throw hard. You got to ease him in to the rotation.
Right.
And by the time he comes back, the way how the Mets are playing, we're going to be 5 to 10 games out of the division.
What about?
We should have been running away with this division already.
Oh yeah.
But no. But they're playing games. They're playing footsies with all these teams, and then they let them come back.
What about DeGrom? Do you think he'll be the same when he comes back?
I mean, he can't get any more better. But unfortunately, he's not gonna have nothing to. He's not gonna have anything to show for it.
Right.
I don't
know.
That's actually a lot for him to be the way how he's been. Nobody's been pitching the way how he's been pitching. The only person for the whole season that pitched similar to what he was doing was Bob Gibson. And now, unfortunately, because of these injuries creeping up on him, he's not going to even have a chance to challenge for the ERA record.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
It is. Yeah.
He could have been the first MVP, but that's out of the question now.
Well, right now, the Mets gotta get their acts together. They haven't been playing good baseball for over a month now.
Yeah, they're like 9-13 or 9-14 since the All-Star break.
Yeah, so they, you know, before this thing gets worse, you know, they got to get their acts together. Offense needs to start clicking, and the pitching definitely needs to hold up until, you know, they get their big guys back, especially DeGrom back, which is their big guy.
Mm-hmm.
What about Stroman? How's he doing this year?
He was pitching great before the first half, and now he's fallen back to earth with these couple of – he pitched today. How many runs he gave up? He gave up, what, 2 runs? I mean, he didn't pitch that bad. He pitched, what, 5 innings, gave up 2 runs. Yeah, he didn't pitch bad. But, again, I think Rojas took him out. I don't know what his pitch count is, to be honest with you. But I think Rojas took him out too early. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, these pitchers can't go 6 innings with this rotation. He's itching to go to the bullpen all the time. Like, all the time he's going into the bullpen, and it's the same people pitching over and over again. And then he's going to wonder why these people are in the IL. Because he keeps pitching.
Yeah, he gets tired out those pitchers.
They're tiring out the same people pitches over and over again. Loop.
Yeah.
Familia always pitches 2 innings. Lugo. Trevor May. I'm trying to think. Drew Smith. Diaz. Well, who's on a paternity leave. So congratulations to him, you know. On, you know, the birth of his new child. But I'm just at a loss for words. Like,
yeah, no, I don't blame you.
It's just messed up, man.
Well, you know, hopefully they can get their act together, you know. But yeah, it's definitely concerning the way they're playing, and what, you know, these other teams starting to play better. You know, you want to be in October and then be in the wild card hunt. You know, you don't want to be in that position. That's a win or go home scenario right there.
Mhm. Well, they're not gonna if they don't win the division, they're out of it because other. The West is gonna.
I know the West is loaded right now.
Yeah, the West has a stranglehold on the wild card spot, and not to mention the divisional spot.
Yeah.
And you know, of course, they got Scherzer in the trade. You know, because Scherzer played the Mets, and you know, and said he wanted to take his talents to LA with the Dodgers, just like Bauer. You know, and apparently Cole Hamels. It's close to signing with them too, if he hasn't signed already yet over there too. So,
Yankees just won the game with a walk-off hit by Gardner, the aging veteran.
No surprise there. I don't think anybody's surprised by this.
Yankees have been playing better. You know,
especially if you've been watching this show since or listening to this show since 2009, which that year might have had some significance to the Yankees that year. I might be wrong.
Well, Yankees, you know, they made the trades for Rizzo and got Gallo, and they improved their offense. The offense has been playing much better since those trades. And the pitching hasn't been that bad this year. It's been the offense that has been inconsistent. You know, but right now they have Jared Cole. He's on the COVID-19 list,
mm-hmm.
So he's going to be out for a week or so.
He'll get well soon.
Yeah, but the pitching has been holding up. You know, it's the offense, and the offense has been playing really better. They've been playing better baseball. We scored 13 the other night against which team was it? Was it the Rays or the White Sox? I forget which team.
No, Orioles.
Orioles, there you go, yeah. And then we scored 10 after that. And then last night we scored 5. Tonight, you know, offense didn't do much, but, you know, we got a clutch hit by Gardner. So they've been playing real well. Offense is clicking right now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're playing better, right now they're climbing up in the standings. They're about 5.5 games behind the Red Sox for first place. And they're about a game right now
or a half a game with this win in the wild card. So things are looking up for the Yankees. Things are looking
as
up.
Usual.
11 games over 500.
They did what they had to do in the trading deadline and get those big bats. And now,
yeah, well, Brian Cashman had to, or else he's going to lose his job probably at the end of his season.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. So, yeah, props to the Yankees. They got the walk-off win, and they got it thanks to the old veteran, Brett Gardner.
Yeah. A lot of people saying Brett Gardner should retire.
You?
Yeah, I'm one of those people that said that before the season. But, the nights like this, you appreciate him, He's a Yankee veteran right now on this team, and he brings a lot of leadership and experience. And, we could use him, especially if we go to the postseason,
Mm-hmm.
Definitely be that guiding light for us. Especially, he has a World Series ring from that 09 team, so
mm-hmm.
He'll definitely bring that experience.
Yeah, and speaking of teams with postseason experience, shifting gears to the New York Knicks. The Knicks, they finally made it to the playoffs for the first time in, 7 or 8 years? And, Randall, he led the way to make it possible for, the Knicks to make it to the playoffs. Unfortunately, we all know what happened in the playoffs against the Hawks, but congratulations to Randall. He got the 4-year extension. He made the smart decision, taking the guaranteed money, instead of gambling on himself in this regular season. Who knows, God forbid, he could have got hurt and, missed out, and then try to, get a $200 million extension like, what's his name? Steph Curry did with the Warriors. Steph Curry became the first man in history, NBA history, to sign $200 million extensions. In his career. So congrats to him. But on the Knicks side, he made the right decision. He's getting rewarded for his play in the regular season. And now, the Knicks, they made some moves. They mostly brought the band back together. They re-signed Noel. Re-signed Alex Burke. They re-signed Derrick Rose. Re-signed Taj Gibson. So they basically, to be honest with you, they re-signed everybody I really wanted them to re-sign. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, Reggie Bullock, he was, that tough defender on the team. He'll be definitely missed. I think he signed with Mavs. But they upgraded signing Evan Fournier, a guy who was doing well in the Olympics with the French team, and of course he got traded to the Celtics, and now which to me he was a good signing. He was a potential all-star. And then to cap off the Knicks, free agency and their offseason, they signed Kemba Walker, Fournier's teammate with the Celtics this past year. So, I mean, I think it's a great signing. Kemba Walker, obviously, been a star in New York City, played for UConn, And he's always been a clutch player, and he's one of the best opponents who score well at MSG. I think he averaged 21 points a game at MSG. Only Kyrie and I forgot who the other person I noticed who scores more at MSG as a current player. But you know, it's a good move. You know, Kemba Walker, he's a clutch dude. He battled a knee injury, you know, this past year. So, you know, you didn't have a Kemba Walker-esque type year, but, you know, I love this. I love the Kemba Walker's signing. It really catapulted, the team. Am I saying they're a championship caliber team now? I'm not delusional. You know what I'm saying? But I think they improved. They should definitely get out of the first round if they do make it to the playoffs, which I think they will again. But yeah, with this team, you got some guys who could score. You got Julius Randle, who you expect to have a similar year, like he did this past season. You got RJ Barrett, who's developing, you know, into a young talent, a potential all-star. You know, you got Derrick Rose, a veteran, former MVP in the league with the Bulls. And then you got Fournier, you know, who's a sharpshooter. And, you know, a potential, all-star maybe this year. Who knows? So you got a bunch of guys who could potentially score 20 points a night, you know. And I think it's a good move. You know, and then not to mention you got the young guys on the bench, Quick. You got Grimes, Sims. You got what's his name again? Vildoza, I think, the point guard that they signed last year. Yeah, because you know they got some young guys, you know, on the team. And then you got Knox, who's trying to redeem himself. I know, Obi Toppin right there too,
yeah,
on the bench too. So they got a nice blend of gritty, you know, bench players and some, you know, veterans. So yeah, I like the moves that they did. They didn't do anything like, oh my God, you know, this is a championship caliber team, or you know, this is the final piece. But I like the building blocks they did. You know, they truly brought the band back together with the right pieces of people. You know, they didn't bring back what's his name again, Peyton or Ntilikina or anybody like that who have a better chance of doing better elsewhere. They brought back the right players. You know, fan favorite players off the bench. So, you know, props to the Knicks. What's your thoughts, Mac?
Hey, I thought the Kemba signing was a good signing. You know, because there weren't any other top point guards available. So signing him was a no-brainer. And we got him for cheap also. What, $8 million a year? Right? So that's a bargain.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
You can't beat that, yeah. And if he can play just as well as he did when, you know, in Charlotte, then, you know, the Knicks stole him pretty much off the market. So I'm just hoping that he plays well for us and, you know, gives Derrick Rose some relief. You know, I mean, obviously he's going to be the starting point guard, you know, over Rose. I would assume so. But, you know, we'll see. But, you know, again, if he gives us, you know, close to the production of his Charlotte days, and I think, you know, it's a win-win for the Knicks. And as far as the other signings, I mean, Fournier, I think he's going to be a good player for us. I mean, we're going to miss the defense of Bullock, but mm-hmm. Fournier, he's a good shooter. His defense is not that bad, but again, it's not as good as, you know, what Reggie Bullock gave us this past season. So, you know, we'll see. Because Thibodeau has, you know, he has a knack for getting the best players to, you know, play better defense. So hopefully, you know, he'll do the same with Fournier. Yeah, man, I think they were good signings and good trades. You know, I wish we could have got a big man. I mean, I know DeMarcus Cousins is still out there. So maybe they could go after him, but I don't know if we have enough money to sign him. You know, I don't know how much cap space the Knicks have right now.
Oh, well, yeah, we technically we could. We could sign him to like a veteran minimum exception.
Oh, okay.
Other than that, we're out of space, but we do have like a veteran minimum exception that we could sign somebody. So he wouldn't be out of the question, but question is, would he want to come here? Because everybody want to come where – everybody want to go where, you know, LeBron and Durant is, and probably now with Giannis winning a title, they're going to want to go over to where he's at too. So,
right. Did we trade for Fournier or we signed him? We traded for Fournier, right?
No, I think we signed him.
Oh, we signed him. Oh, okay.
As a free agent.
Okay, okay. So we didn't trade any. We didn't do any trades then.
We
did a trade.
No, I think the only trade we did was, you know, in the draft.
Yeah.
Other than that, all of these are signing.
Okay.
Kemba Walker, he was surprisingly released by the Hornets, you know, because they drafted a lot of point guards. You know, they had a bunch of point guards, so they felt he was expandable.
I see. And we got Derrick Rose. You know, I think smart to re-sign Derrick Rose, you know, have him come off the bench again. You know, you saw what he did last season, you know, showing that he still has it. He still got it. You know?
Yep.
So, I like the deals. I like the deals, you know. But, hey, if we could get a big man like DeMarcus Cousins, I think that would be even better. That would help us tremendously.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Question is, would he want to come here? That's the question.
Bring that toughness, you know, to the Knicks, that grittiness, you know?
Yeah.
You know, a guy that I wish we could have kept? I wish we could have kept Marcus Morris. Wish we could have kept him.
Yeah, we traded him, like, what? Like, a couple of years ago?
Yeah,
I mean, like
he's got that toughness, and he could score as well. And he actually wanted to come back to the Knicks. Well, he actually wanted to stay with us.
Yeah. Yeah, he did publicly say that he wanted to be with us, and then we traded him.
Yeah, typical Knicks.
Yeah, they might even trade Mitch. Because
I've heard Mitch's name in trades. Well, Mitch,
yeah.
He has to stay healthy, man, because... I'm not going to put up with him being injured for another season again.
Well, this is last season. This is the last year of his rookie contract. He's going to be a free agent if we don't, extend him.
Well, if he doesn't stay healthy, I say go after another big man if he can't stay healthy. I mean, this is a sign that, you know, he might be injured throughout his whole career.
Yeah.
Kind of like Marcus Camby. Remember Marcus Camby was like that. Injury prone. You know, couldn't stay on the court. Then as soon as he leaves the Knicks, he plays healthy with the Nuggets. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens with Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, man. It's because of Marcus Camby. I found out about the word plantar fasciitis. I didn't even know that existed. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real. Like, I never even knew that word existed until he had it, like, when he was with the Knicks. Had you ever heard of that word before that?
I've heard of it before. You know, I've heard a lot of injuries. But it does sound like something you get, like, at a Caribbean restaurant.
Yeah, like a place. Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking myself, too. I was about to say something like that. Some fried plantar fasciitis. Shoot. Man. But, I mean, we're in agreement, man. You know, we love the Nick moves. You know, they're moving in the right direction. And, you know, let's go Knicks. And, you know, then on the other side of, you know,
of the city. You got the Nets. You know, the Nets and Kevin Durant agreed to a 4-year, $198 million extension. And well, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, you know, me personally, I don't care, you know. But, you know, I heard there's some people who had dreams that he was going to come to the Knicks, you know, after he just – all he does, every time he talks about the Knicks, he's always talking trash about the Knicks. Like I don't know what dream world there people are thinking that he's coming here. I mean, he dissed us. Like, he's been dissing us for years.
Yeah.
Like – The organization has been kissing his fanny, building a billboard for him, you know, outside the, you know, Madison Square Garden, and he's like, he don't care about stuff like that. He literally said that on, you know, like before he even signed, before his free agency, you know, that year when he was with the Warriors before he that was the same year he got injured. He ultimately got injured and then he signed with the Nets. But, yeah, so, and then afterwards, to add salt to the injuries, dude has the audacity to say that the Knicks, he didn't sign with the Knicks because the Knicks aren't cool. Well, dude, if a superstar player like you would have came to the Knicks, then, yeah, everybody would have jumped on the Knicks bandwagon.
Yeah, exactly.
So, apparently, he didn't think he was cool enough to play for the Knicks.
Yeah.
It goes both ways, because if he thought he had enough star power and, you know, coolness appeal, he could have single-handedly made the Knicks cool again. But
exactly.
I guess, you know, that you know, I guess that was too much of a task for him. So instead of making the Knicks cool again, now he's just a Knicks nemesis and a hooligan. So good luck to him and the Nets. You know, hopefully we'll knock them off eventually, and we'll see what happens, you know.
Kevin Durant, the USA men's basketball team, they're going to the finals.
Yeah. And I think
ready to win that gold medal for the U.S.
Yep. I was going to say, Do you know what American player, you know, basketball player has the most medals?
The most medals?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
In U.S. basketball history?
In U.S. basketball history. In the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Kevin Durant. He's been on, this team's been, he was on the, I think he's been on three USA teams. Obviously, Kevin Durant.
No, it's not Kevin Durant, but that's not a bad guess. Let me.
Oh, this is a current player?
Yes, he's a current player as well. Just like
the
Durant.
Most medals. Carmelo Anthony.
You got it. He has 3 gold medals. And a fourth one, you know, a fourth, was it a bronze, I think? When they had that team where our streak got snapped.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
The following Olympics, we had the Redeem team in 08.
Right. Wow, I didn't even know he played on the USA men's basketball team that many times.
Yeah. Yeah, he was on. From 04 to 2016, he's been in the Olympics.
Wow. What about KD? KD, this might be his third or fourth. What is it?
Let's see. Because
he's been on a few before this one.
He's been in 2.
Really?
No, this is the third. No. This would be the third because right. Yeah, exactly. This would be the third because we don't know. He's still playing right now, so we don't know what medal he's going to end up with. So, at the very minimum, he's going to end up with silver because he's playing in the finals.
Didn't they just say he passed Carmelo in the all-time USA scoring list or something? Or
probably right about that.
Maybe
close,
something like that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I did hear something like that. Yeah, so Durant is on his way to getting a third medal. He has 2 gold, and he's trying to win a third. Third consecutive one. So if he wins that, who do you think Durant would tie?
Carmelo.
No, I'm saying, no, he would have 3. So he would be second all time.
Right, but he has 3 gold medals. Carmelo has 3 gold medals as well, right?
Well, yes, but Melo has 4 medals all together. But yeah,
are you talking about total medals? Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. But yes, you're right. He would tie Melo with 3 gold medals. So yeah, you are right with that.
Well, 3 medals. I mean, he'd probably tie a lot of players who have 3 total medals.
Mm-hmm.
I think, right? Probably LeBron.
Correct.
One
more, actually.
One more.
Well, actually, you're right. He would tie LeBron with 3 gold medals. Yeah, he would tie LeBron with 3 gold medals overall. You are correct with that.
Okay. And there's one more, you said?
No, I mean you're right. I mean, I'm total medals he would have. Okay, yeah, it's confusing because he would tie Melo with three, with being what the only 3 gold medalists.
Right.
So
with
he would
3 total medals. He would tie LeBron.
Wait. Okay, LeBron has 3 medals.
Uh-huh.
3 total medals: 2 gold,
right.
1 bronze.
Right.
Right. Melo altogether has 4 total medals. He has 3 gold and 1 bronze.
Right.
And then one more other person has 2 gold medals and 1 bronze.
Okay. So you're asking me the other player here tied for total 3 medals.
Yes.
If KD wins. Charles Barkley?
Not a bad guess. Barkley has 2 gold medals.
The Michael Jordan?
Not a bad guess as well. Same as Barkley. 2 gold medals.
Who's played 3? Wow, let me think. Who's played 3? Yeah, that's a good one. Is this an old school player?
Yep.
Wow. Karl Malone?
Not a bad guess. He has 2 gold medals as well.
Patrick Ewing?
That's a good one. 2 gold medals as well.
David Robinson?
You got it. David Robinson has 2 gold medals and 1 bronze.
I see. What year was the bronze?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out myself too. I'm like, I'm seeing that's exactly what I'm looking at. I'm like, when did he get the bronze? It must have been 88 then.
Hey, I thought that team won gold. No?
I don't know.
Maybe it was bronze. I'm not even sure.
Because Dream Team definitely won the gold for sure.
Well, the 92, yeah, that was the first time the pros got in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Correct.
EA was college players.
Right.
Maybe 88.
Yeah, let me just make sure to confirm, but I'm pretty sure 88 would be the year that,
okay,
you know, our Olympic team, won the bronze.
Yeah, because I remember Robinson was also on the 96 team. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, he was on the 96 one as well.
Yeah.
That was his last Olympic.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see some of the Olympics. Well, I'm looking for the Summer Olympics. I have the Olympics theme song in my head. Do I even have it? No, I do not. But, yeah, let me look for this thing. Okay, let's see. Scrolling. Can see the men's basketball team. They just give me all this information. Okay, good. Thank you. Finally. All right, let's see. Yep. USA got the bronze medal. The men's basketball team in Russia had the Soviet Union had the gold. Yugoslavia had the silver, and we had the bronze.
Okay.
That's why we had to get the dream team.
Yeah.
So there you go, folks. Speaking of redemption, yeah, man, let's shift gears to WWE. And, yeah, I'm trying to think what happened. Yeah, basically on SmackDown, Roman Reigns and his cousins, the Usos, beat up on Finn Balor. I'm trying to think what else happened on SmackDown. Sasha Banks, she accepted Sasha Banks' challenge. She's gonna go down the SummerSlam match, the WrestleMania rematch, is gonna go down. And I'm trying to think what else happened. Oh, on Raw, Goldberg speared MVP.
Oh yeah.
When MVP was talking trash to Goldberg's real life son, who's all grown up now. Now this boy's gonna be a WWE superstar.
I know, it's like Rey Mysterio's son.
Yeah, him and Rey Mysterio's son can form a tag team. And Nicholas too.
Yep.
unfortunately Braun Strowman is, gone, so he can form a faction.
Yeah.
If WWE don't release them, by that time. Shoot. Trying to think what else happened. Lily got beat up. Lily and Alexa Bliss got beat up by Eva Marie and Doudrop. And the most stupidest, weirdest thing happened after Alexa Bliss and Lily got jumped at on the playground. they showed us, I don't know if you saw this part. They showed Lily like stand up. They did some special effect to make Lily look like she stood up. Did you see the part I'm talking about?
I saw that, yeah.
What was your thoughts when you saw that?
Like, this is like some Chucky kind of stuff.
The review thought, like, Vince McMahon was like, wow, look at me, I look like a genius, look at this dog, this doll standing up, oh yeah, pal, And then it's like, well, this is like such a cheap parlor trick, like, what the heck? It made him stand up, what the heck? It was supposed to be scary, but it was hilarious. I was laughing when I saw that.
Oh man,
and speaking of which, WWE, man, Alexa Bliss, she paid a subtle tribute to Bray Wyatt, doing that hand, that, like, covering, like that, like that,
yeah,
that head, covering the ears.
Yeah.
And then you could see the glove, the what pain, and what did he used to write on his stuff? Hurt heel, but hers is, like, play and maybe pain or something. I don't know. So, yeah, she had, like, a little subtle tribute to him there. Okay. And, she did write that, he was the funnest person she worked with, through her tenure in WWE. Trying to think what else happened in WWE. Who did Bobby Lashley fight?
Didn't fight again.
Was that when you fought Hurt Business, or was that last week? Maybe that was last week when he fought Hurt Business.
I think that was last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. This week, I'm just thinking of his, you know, that little tussle Goldberg. But he didn't get to do anything with Goldberg.
Yeah. I can't remember him doing anything. Oh, yeah, back to the Olympics. Congratulations to Gable Stevenson winning gold in the men's, you know, the men's, you know, wrestling.
Yeah,
amateur wrestling.
I saw that.
But, yeah, another person who stole the show in the Olympics was I'm trying to remember her name.
Who are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, Tamira Mensa Stock. You know, yeah, when I saw she won the Olympics, she became like, the first black woman to win the Olympics, the Olympic gold in wrestling. And, yeah, she was,
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that, too.
Yeah, she was very, you know, cheerful and bubbly and saying, you know, she's proud to represent America and, you know, and I was like, yeah, she'd be like a female Kurt Angle. Like she would, her gimmick was, I mean, that's basically what Nikki, I was going to say Nikki Cross, but now she's Nikki A.S.H., almost a superhero, you know, that would basically be the same gimmick, you know, like, and then sure enough, someone asked her if she would want to do that, and she said, yeah, she would love to compete in WWE. I mean, yeah, I mean, WWE would be dumb if they don't swoop her up.
Yeah.
She'd be great, you know, in WWE. Props to Simone Biles, you know, she overcame her fear of, you know, doing the twisties and you know, competed in that, one of the events in the gymnastics. You know, she won a bronze, but she said that she was more proud of that bronze medal than all the gold that she's won in her career thus far. Not to mention, you know, her overcoming, you know, her fear that she had, and then she apparently revealed that she lost her aunt recently too. So, you know, you never know what people are going through.
Yeah,
you know,
that's for sure.
So, you know, kudos to her, you know, overcoming her tragedy and her fear to at least compete in the last event and, you know, go away with a medal. So, yeah, props to, you know, all the people representing America and doing proud. Oh, yeah, there was a another story in the Olympics. There was a guy in the Olympics. He accidentally got tripped by while he was running. He got tripped by somebody else. I think the other person was from Nigeria. I can't remember what place. But yeah, he fell down, and then, you know, they both picked each other up and they ran the race together. You know, even though the race was over. So yeah, the guy who lost, the American, was saying like, his mother told him that, you know, that, you know, you got to just, you know, like when you have a situation like that, you know, just to keep going, to paraphrase what he's saying. So props to him, running the race, even though the race was over, you know. And there was even another event. I think it might have been a U.S. Person, an Italian guy. They were competing in an event, and it might have been pole vault. Can't remember. And you know, they basically agreed that they both would you know, share the gold. So, you know, props to them. You know, you love stories like that, you know,
with, congrats,
you know, good sportsmanship and just, you know, doing the best you can.
Yeah.
And, you know, props to all the winners. You know, shifting gears to NXT, and I guess this is WWE related. Yeah, WWE, man, they dropped the ball on Adam Cole. Adam Cole, man, he was like the top villain in NXT when he was the leader of the Undisputed Era faction. And yeah, man, they thought they had this guy signed for like years, like maybe even until like 2024. But someone in WWE dropped the ball because this guy's Adam Cole's contract, it ended like I think around Money in the Bank, but he agreed to stay on until SummerSlam. So, but apparently his contract expired without WWE keeping track of when his contract was going to expire. So
how does that happen?
I know, it's just ridiculous. And yeah, that's what happened, I think, to Aleister Black. They thought Aleister Black had a 90-day non-compete clause because that's what WWE gives them. But somehow someone didn't switch his contract from an NXT compete clause, which is a 30-day complete clause, non-complete clause, as opposed to the WWE 90-day complete clause. And that's why Aleister Black, now known as Malakai Black, he's in AEW so quickly. So now WWE looks like they're scrambling to try to re-sign Adam Cole. But Adam Cole, you know, they destroyed the Undisputed Era, you know, so there's no, if you look at storyline-wise, there's no point of him staying in WWE or even in NXT, because look how they're treating Karrion Kross over there. Oh, yeah, Karrion Kross, he lost to Keith Lee with the Spirit Bomb, you know, this Monday Night Raw. After last week, he finally got his first WWE win by beating Keith Lee, because, you know, WWE, they have the same people battling for it over and over again. And, you know, those guys both had a big rivalry in NXT. Keith Lee's, reign in NXT ended as a result of Karrion Kross defeating him. And then Karrion Kross had to relinquish the title because he had an injury, which he fought back months later and regained became healthy and regained the title back. And then, you know, now he's called up and, you know, they took away Scarlett, who's his real life girlfriend and, you know, his, you know, manager in the ring. And, you can see the presentation is not the same way how it was in NXT. NXT, you know, there was a presentation, there was an aura to his entrance, and the way how WWE is booking him, you know, it's making the NXT talent, you know, jump ship to AEW, just like the current talent. Like,
wow. So AEW has a chance to sign him.
Yeah, AEW, and they have his girlfriend, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, right now. She's the current women's champion, and he has some friends from, from AEW, who were in the Bullet Club, you know, the Young Bucks, you know, Kenny Omega, those people over there that he has history with over there from AEW prior to, you know, their Ring of Honor days. So, WWE is dropping the ball. I mean, they have Rick, when you have Ric Flair, asking for a release, you know WWE.
I didn't even know Ric Flair was still with WWE.
For real. That's my point right there. You got people who's been loyal with WWE for 20-something years leaving WWE. You know, the Big Show. Mark Henry, Chris Jericho prior to that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got these people leaving. People that you never thought in a million years would leave WWE. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they left. They left, man. It's like WWE needs to get their act together. This man needs to get his act together. You're releasing Bray Wyatt. You release Rusev, who's not a current TNT champion.
I don't know what WWE
not,
does.
Yeah, man, like, they need to get their act together, man. Like, yeah, and when you go to switching to AEW, Malakai Black, he destroyed Cody Rhodes so badly that Cody Rhodes was about to retire in the ring. Took off his boots. No, I'm serious. Like, he literally took off his boots. He gave a speech, like a 5-minute speech. He took off one of his boots. He was about to take off the other boot, and then Malakai Black hits him with a crutch, you know, and you know, after that butt whooping he gave him. So, you know, it looks like Cody Rhodes was going to retire, but now there's a feud that looks like it's going to happen.
Wow.
Between the two of them. I'm trying to think what else happened on AEW. They jumped Kenny Omega. I mean, no, Kenny Omega and the Elite. They jumped what's his name? Hangman Adam Page, I should say. What else happened in AEW? Oh yes, Jericho, he defeated Juventud Guerrera. You know, a dude, you know, from, you know, WCW and WWE, you know, he, Jericho defeated him with an aerial Judas effect, for the victory. So Jericho has won the first three Labors of Jericho. And after he defeated Juventud Guerrera, Wardlow from behind attacked him, and then MJF announced that you know, Wardlow is the fourth opponent that Jericho has to face in a row in order to have the opportunity to defeat MJF. Because every week, if Jericho goes on a winning streak, which Jericho has, he's won the first three matches. Now he's gonna face Wardlow, you know, with MJF in ringside. I think MJF is even going to be the referee, if I'm not mistaken, or definitely against Jericho to even have the opportunity to face MJF. Let's see what else. Can't think of anything else major that happened in AEW. I know, what's his name again? Darby Allin, Dean Ambrose and Kingston, they won the match against guys who were formerly known as Everrise in NXT after they recently got released. What else happened? Dr. Britt Baker, she's going to face Red Velvet with the title on the line, you know, in the upcoming match. But, back to NXT. Like I told you a few minutes ago, there's no reason for Adam Cole to go back because, you know, they just keep cutting people, and now they just announced today the NXT cut 12 people.
Oh,
12
wow.
People today. Well, apparently it happened on Friday. Oh yeah, today is Friday. Well now it's 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So now it's technically yesterday. So yeah, here's the people who they cut: Bronson Reed, who just recently, just a few weeks ago, was the NXT North American champion. Bobby Fish, who was part of Adam Cole's Undisputed Era, he's gone. Mercedes Martinez, you know, a tough female wrestler who she was briefly part of the Retribution faction before she decided to, her and I think Mia Yim decided to leave the group, or at least she, no, I think she left the group. She left the group. Well, I think both of them did leave the group. But Mercedes Martinez saw the writing on the wall and she left the group. Leon Ruff, who like Bronson Reed, won the NXT North American Championship. It was, I think, earlier this year or last year. I can't even remember. Yeah, probably was earlier this year. Tyler Rust, who, you know, they've been hyping him up. Jake Atlas. Ari Sterling, I don't know who that is. Kona Reeves, not sure who that is. And then they have Zachariah Smith, Asher Hale, Giant Zengier, and Stephen Smith. So, yeah, they cut 12 people. And the surprising names were definitely Bronson Reed and Bobby Fish for sure. And, yeah, even Mercedes Martinez, I mean, they've been promoting those people. Yeah, I guess it shows you that, Vince McMahon doesn't value NXT like Triple H does.
Yeah.
You got to do shake your head, man. Oh, yeah, and another thing about the Raw was, yeah, that was the first episode without Bray. So the fans were just basically chanting, "We want Bray and CM Punk" chants the whole night. And WWE tried to, block out the sounds, and they put fake crowd reaction to the point that apparently they had Michael Cole talk about John Cena when John Cena was even in the arena, and Michael Cole wasn't even in the arena that day either. So that's apparently what I heard, what I heard people said they heard. So it's WWE, man. Crazy. So, yeah, that's it in the world of sports and entertainment. You have anything you'd like to say before we head out?
No, everyone have a safe Friday night. If you're on the West Coast, Saturday, well, check out my show IMAC coming up here shortly. Check your local listings for that and come back here and check out Sports Urban Legend every Saturdays at 11, only on Box Off Radio.
Yeah, you heard the man. Normally we do this show Saturday night at 11, but I was, I'm not able to do it. I wasn't able to do it tomorrow, so decided to hop on and hang out with you guys and do it this special episode. So, yes, check out Mac's show. I'm Mac. Check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. And check out this show, Sports Urban Legend, every Saturday at 11. So, he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm Wayne Ramon. And I'll see you guys next time. Peace.